Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Where we've been working our way through Sermon on the Mount. And as the kids leave, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in this place and have the opportunity to open your word. Just as we sang a moment ago, this is the air that we breathe, and that we do truly need to be desperate for you, that you would speak to us and speak inside of us and change us from the old man into the new man by the power of the gospel. So Lord, please do that miracle in us this morning as we open up your word and as we learn from Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. As I mentioned, we've been spending the last several weeks going through what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's about life in Jesus' kingdom. What are the people that belong to him like? What are these people like? What do they do? What are their priorities in life? And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus went up on a mountain and sat with his disciples. The text said that he opened his mouth and taught them these things, and he still speaks to his disciples today, and he's teaching us. The first several verses here in chapter 5 are called the Beatitudes, about the blessed life. What does it mean to have the blessed life of the kingdom? And what Jesus teaches here in these first few verses, it lays the groundwork for the rest of what he teaches in this sermon. So today we're at verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Where Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And so he's telling us that the people in his kingdom, they are merciful people. And those who are merciful will receive mercy from God. And as we've done several times going through each one of these, it's important to get a good definition of the character trait that Jesus is talking about. And so, what is mercy? What is it? And to answer that question, I want to point you to three different places in the New Testament where we see a description of mercy. Two of these will be from Jesus, and one will be from the Apostle Paul. And I think that it'll give us a good idea of what Jesus is talking about here. One that I won't mention that Jason read just a little while ago is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Did you notice at the very end of it, he said, Jesus asked the man, who was a neighbor to the man in need? And he said, the one that showed mercy to him. So obviously, the Good Samaritan knew what it meant to show mercy. But here we're going to start with a passage later in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Starting at verse 23, this is a parable that Jesus was teaching to his disciples, and it's not going to be on the screen, but I want to read you the beginning of this, where Jesus is responding to Peter. Peter came up to him and said, this is verse 21, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." And so then Jesus goes on to teach this parable to tell Peter and others who were there what it meant to forgive and to what extent a person should forgive. When the servant owed his master, here at the beginning of this parable, he owed his master a large amount of money. He and his family, because he owed this money, were going to be sold into slavery to pay for their debt. But the servant fell on his knees in front of his master, and he begged him to be patient with him. Begged him to be patient with him. And out of pity for this man, the master looked at him and forgave him the debt. Told him he no longer had to pay it back, even though he owed him an extraordinary amount of money. He didn't need to pay him back. He forgave him and released him. And as soon as he was released, this servant went looking for a man that owed him some money. And it was a relatively small amount of money compared to what he had owed his master. And when he found this man, he began to choke him and told him he had to pay him. And this other man begged this guy for patience, just as the servant had begged his master. But he threw him into prison until he could pay him back. And I'm going to pick up in verse 31 what Jesus is teaching here. He says, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. What did the master do for his servant when he saw that he was needy and in distress? What did he do for him? He was generous. He was generous, and he forgave him what he owed him. And the servant, you know, he didn't deserve it. He actually owed this amount of money to his master. It was a genuine debt that he needed to pay. But the master was merciful. He was merciful to a debtor who pleaded with him. And that's why he was angry when this servant, whom he had just forgiven, went out and had somebody owe him some money, but he did not forgive him and show him the same mercy that the master did. And that's why he said to him, and should not have you had had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? So I think just what we see here is that the merciful, because he says he had mercy on him, the merciful are willing to generously forgive those who owe them. And it's not always money. It's not always money that somebody owes you. What are we like? Sometimes somebody hurts you. Somebody is mean to you, rude to you in some way. And what's the natural response that we often give? We're going to hurt them back, right? Justice is going to be served. So we make them pay. The merciful are willing to forgive somebody and refuse to extract payment from them. It doesn't have to be money. It could just be payback. But instead of seeking after it, instead, you show mercy. That's the first picture we get. Matthew chapter 18. The second picture of mercy is in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And it's in a place where Luke records many of the same teachings that we have here in the Sermon on the Mount. The place where Jesus is teaching his disciples to love their enemies. And he tells them here, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Jesus closes this passage by telling His disciples to be merciful, just as God is a merciful God. He tells us that God has enemies, people who oppose Him, people who are in rebellion against Him, people who hate Him. But what has God done in response? Has He returned their hate with hate? Is that what He is like? Jesus tells us no. That He's returned their lack of gratitude with kindness. So when they show ingratitude to God, instead of getting His wrath or always getting His justice, God shows mercy. He does good to them. He gives. And Jesus tells us He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Is that your natural response? When people are ungrateful to you, I mean, you notice it, right? When you've done something good and nobody pays any attention, what is your response usually? Or what do you want to do? Jesus tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show mercy. But we want justice. We want them to at least thank us and show some gratitude. But God here, people don't show Him gratitude, but He is kind and He gives and He does good to them anyway. That's what our God is like, and that's what mercy does. It gives and shows kindness to enemies. And so in the last passage in Matthew chapter 18, we saw that the merciful are willing to forgive someone when they owe them something. But here, at the very least, people owe God gratitude. They owe Him gratitude. But what does He do? He continues to do good for them and to forgive them. He shows patience. He's kind. And that's what the merciful do. They give and do good to their enemies. Are there ungrateful, spiteful, cantankerous people in your life? Have you got some of those? Are you one of those to somebody else? With mercy, here Jesus tells us, it does not give evil for evil. Instead, it gives and does good to the ungrateful. That's what mercy's like. As crazy as that might sound, that's what Jesus says here, that we are to do and to be just like our God is. One more passage. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the Apostle Paul. And before I read it, I just want to make sure that you don't miss how Paul describes every person before they come to know Jesus. Because the way that he describes it, it is quick and it is jarring. And sometimes because it's so quick, we might just look over it, maybe even think that we don't belong to this category, but he is describing every person before they come to know Jesus Christ. And it shows how far from God sinners are. And how great the gospel is to draw us close to God. Verses 1 through 7. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I mean, that's a pretty picture, isn't it? But verse 4, it's one of the sweetest verses in all the Bible. It says, but God. Everything turns around with that phrase, but God, being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says here that we were enemies of God. And not only that, we were followers of Satan. I mean, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Followers of the prince of the power of the air, sons of disobedience. Living in the passions of our flesh, by nature, children, not of joy and love and peace, but of wrath. That's what we deserved. And does that sound like anybody that God would be inspired to draw near to, or that you would be inspired to draw near to? Think of your worst enemy. Or those people that are the most uncomfortable, if you don't want to describe them as enemies, the people that are the most uncomfortable for you to be around. You know, you walk in the room and you just, you know, you really don't want to be there with them. Don't really want to open your mouth and talk to them. Don't even want to acknowledge them. Well, we were infinitely worse than that in our misery and our rebellion against God. whether you knew it or not, whether you thought of thought of yourself that way or not. I know I didn't. I was just living in my rebellion. Well, I'm thinking about God. But what did he do? He was rich in mercy. Nothing in me, nothing in you that would inspire him to come close to us. It's simply that there is something in God. He is rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us. I mean, think about that for a second, okay? So when you were like this, a child of wrath, following the prince of the power of the air, God loved you. That doesn't make sense, does it? Enemies in rebellion, but yet God loved you. That's crazy. I mean, we don't love people that way, right? That's why they're called enemies, isn't it? Because we don't naturally love them, but there is something in God that loves those who don't love him back. And that moved him toward us, his mercy. It made him draw near to us when we would not draw near to him. That's what our God is like. And that is the beauty of the gospel, that there is love. There is a kind of love, not the way the world describes it, right? Not what you see in movies, not the gushy romantic type of love. There is a type of love that moves a person to have mercy on an enemy. A person that does not love them back. A person that does not inspire them to naturally draw near, but there's something in a person. It will lead them to show mercy like their Father in heaven, to show love to enemies. This is the same thing that Jesus taught in those passages that we looked at. Paul is teaching it here, that there is love that we are to have to those people who don't deserve it. Or in what he says in verse 7, he says that what we are going to do in the eternity future, we are going to spend time with God learning about his immeasurable riches and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We're going to explore this thought. How is it that God loved me when I was unlovable? Why would God move toward me when he should have moved away? We're going to revel in this and wonder at our God. It should lead us to be in awe of him and to worship him. Because what God does here in the gospel, we just don't have categories for, because people don't act like this. This is not natural for a person. And when a person does something that doesn't make sense, what do we call it? We call it crazy. Because it doesn't make sense. And we try to dismiss it. But we can't do that here. We can't call God crazy for what he did. All of this is normal living for the people who are in Christ's kingdom. This is kingdom living right here. This isn't crazy. This is normal. This is what God's people are supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. Generosity to those who can't pay you back. Loving those people who hate you. Kindness to the ungrateful and the evil. Forgiveness to those people who have hurt you. This is what normal is supposed to be. This is how you and I are supposed to live in the world. Merciful like God is merciful. All of what we've seen in these three passages gives us a broad understanding of what mercy is, but let me give you a short definition of mercy. Mercy is kindness to the undeserving and giving relief to those who are in need. That's what mercy is. And God has shown this most clearly to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mercy of God in action. He pays the debt that we owe to our master. So Matthew chapter 18, it makes sense that somebody had to pay that debt, and it was Christ. And we were released, we were set free. Jesus' obedience and his sacrifice allows God to extend mercy to his enemies. And that's us. Why did God show you mercy? Because Christ came for you. and paid God what you and I owed. And once we've received Jesus and understand what He's done for us, the mercy of God changes us. It changes us on the inside, and we start acting different on the outside. We become people who are controlled by the power of the Spirit, not the power of the flesh. And we start to act in ways that the world just does not understand. That's what the church is supposed to be like. I mean, who forgives debts? Who shows love to their enemies? The Church of Jesus Christ should. We should not be like the world. We are to be like our God. And so what does mercy do? What does mercy do? Mercy produces mercy. It's impossible to receive the gift of God's mercy in Christ and not be radically changed by it. It's impossible. If you've truly received the mercy of God, you will be changed by it. And so those who receive God's mercy will also give it. So if you've received God's mercy, you will be merciful. You will be a conduit of God's mercy to other people. It will not stop at you. It will continue through you. Let me show you this again in each one of these passages, because we are told in each of these that we are to be merciful like God is. In Matthew chapter 18, why was the master so upset with the servant? He said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me." And here it is, "And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" So the expectation was from the master that if you truly had received my mercy, how could you not extend mercy to those who then owed you? He was upset because the one who received the mercy didn't give it. There was no interchange in this person to make him merciful like the master. In Luke 6, after telling us what God is like toward his enemies, Jesus says this. This is how we are supposed to be. "Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Therefore you be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." In so many ways, children are like their parents, aren't they? They got their eye color, their facial features, their hair. You know, mostly external things, but, you know, kids have some personality traits like their parents as well. But here, though, Jesus is telling us that the sons of the Most High, they partake of His nature. They are like Him. He is merciful. Therefore, if you are His child, you also will be merciful. We're supposed to have God's character. And how will people know that God is your Father? In many ways, you will act like Him. He is merciful. Therefore, you, His child in Christ, you will be merciful. What about Paul? What did he say in Ephesians 2? Well, there we don't immediately see him telling us to be merciful to others, because he just doesn't teach that way. If you read many of Paul's letters, you'll notice that what he often does is lay out the gospel in a few chapters, and eventually he turns to application and then begins to tell us, in light of the gospel, this is how you are supposed to live. And so, remember what he said in chapter 2. He said, God didn't punish his enemies, those who are in rebellion against him. He gave mercy to them out of the great love for which he loved them. So based on that, what are these receivers of mercy to do? In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us. He tells us, if you understand the gospel, and if you understand what mercy that God has truly shown to you as a sinner, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Those things that you normally do to enemies, you slander them, you talk about them, you stew over them, you can't sleep at night because of them, you think of the things they said to you, and you can't wait to talk to them again to set things right. Not now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. No longer. That's not what the child of the king is like. Instead, be kind to one another. And he's not talking about just all the people that are being nice to you. Be kind to your enemies. Be tender-hearted to those who hate you. Forgiving those people who have talked about you behind your back. As God in Christ forgave you, remember, he showed you mercy. Therefore, you forgive one another. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. He is your Father. As his child, you act like him. No longer giving the natural response, but giving the response of something that has changed on the inside. The gospel has produced a change in you, giving you the Spirit of Jesus Christ, where now you can respond like God. And so the mercy of Jesus Christ to you begets the mercy of Jesus Christ from you. Who is it that God is calling you to show mercy to? Who is it? It might be somebody who's a regular part of your life. You know, they're there already. That person that you roll your eyes about, whether it's on the outside, sometimes it's on the inside. You hear their name and you're rolling your eyes. That person who has a difficult personality. That person, every time you hear of something negative happening in their life, you think to yourself, they're just getting what they deserve. Might be somebody you already know, or it might be somebody you've not even noticed. Maybe you haven't even met them yet, but God wants to open up your eyes to the need that they have and meet it. Maybe somebody that you're not naturally drawn to. Maybe it's somebody that doesn't look like you, or doesn't come from the same place that you do, that you're not naturally supposed to be around, but God's calling us to show mercy, kindness, love. Who is that person? And I would challenge you this week to open up your eyes and look. And when presented with an opportunity to roll your eyes again, just like you normally do, or maybe you struggle trying not too often, but you know there's something there. How are you going to respond as a child of the King? Jesus tells us we're supposed to be merciful. We need to let the Holy Spirit guide us to give mercy to that person, whoever that is, just as God has done for you in Christ Jesus. So I think we've seen what mercy is. And we've seen what God's mercy does in a person. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 to finish up. Jesus says here in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And isn't what Jesus is saying here something of the opposite of what we've been looking at so far? Everything else that we've been looking at is saying something like, blessed are those who receive mercy because they will be then merciful. Kind of turns it around. So mercy from God changes you and makes you merciful. That's what these three passages have been telling us. But here it looks like mercy from you in this life will earn you mercy from God either now or sometime in the future. Is Jesus teaching that I earn God's mercy because of the mercy that I give to other people? That if I do my work of mercy, God will give me the paycheck of mercy in return? If that's really what he's getting at, wouldn't that be kind of a contradiction of terms? Didn't we say that mercy is kindness given to the undeserving? And it's not really mercy if it's given to those people who have earned it. It becomes a wage. It becomes payment. So it's no longer mercy if that's the case. And if you and I receive anything from God, We can rest assured that it is out of His undeserved kindness, not because we worked for it, not because we performed well, not because we've earned it. So how then should we understand what Jesus is saying here in the Beatitudes? When we started this series a few weeks back, I said that the citizen of Christ's kingdom can only live out what Jesus is teaching here by the power of God. That we cannot do this naturally on our own. So Christ is calling us to some very lofty things, and we read them and we say, that is impossible to do. And it is impossible to do apart from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So this is something that can only be done by the power of God working in us. And so we're unable to do on our own what Jesus calls us to do in this sermon, meaning that underneath everything that He teaches here is the grace of God enabling God's people to do what He commands. There is nothing here that we accomplish apart from Jesus in us. So if you're able to give mercy to other people, as Jesus commands here, know it is because God first gave mercy to you. When we give mercy to other people through the Spirit of Christ, it is a result of our already receiving mercy from God in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've already seen what these other passages tell us about mercy. Listen to what John says in a letter called 1 John. He says, we love because He first loved us. God is always the one that begins it. God always initiates. We never initiate anything with God. And so if we give mercy, it is because God has first given it to us. If we love other people, it's because God has loved us. If we forgive other people, it is because we know that we have first been forgiven by God. And so if we receive mercy, whether it's on the day of judgment or tomorrow morning, because His mercies are new every day, it will be to the praise of God for what He has produced in me with His beautiful grace. So I don't earn mercy from God. He gives it to me. I give it to others. So then God commends me for what I have done in His own strength, not mine. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. Many of you all know who Casting Crowns is, the Christian music group. I tried to find out for sure this week where their name came from, but we'll just have to assume that their name comes from Revelation chapter 4, where these people, the elders, they sing praises to God. And it says that they fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. And so they have these crowns, these rewards that they have received from God, the reward for faithfulness, and they cast it at the feet of Jesus because they know that He is the only reason that they can receive anything good from God. It was not because of them. They did not earn it. God gave it to them out of His grace. And so the honor and the praise and the glory belong to God. And a few times in the New Testament, we're told how we'll also receive crowns or rewards for our faithfulness to Christ. And when you stand before Jesus, and God rewards you with mercy because you've been merciful, what will your response be? It will not be to puff out your chest. You will sing like the elders. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Because you know that your ability to show mercy to others is only because He has first shown it to you. And He will receive the praise. And we will worship Jesus just like these elders, because He is our mercy from God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how can we not give You praise? There was nothing in us, nothing, that would have moved You toward us to show us love and patience and forgiveness. It was simply because our God is awesome. So different than what we see in the world, where it is always an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that is not what you gave us. You gave us mercy. And you loved us. You loved us when we were unlovable. And you moved toward us in the person of Jesus Christ. And you saved us because of that love. Jesus extended his arms on the tree and had nails put in his hands and his feet. He suffered and died for what are your enemies. We were not your friends. But you made us your friends in Christ Jesus. And not just friends, but sons and daughters of the King. This is craziness to us. This is craziness to the world. But you did it. And you are the one who deserves praise and honor and glory for who you are. And you are changing us on the inside to be more like our God. Show us this week, Lord, who you want to give mercy to through us. And that we might have the strength from Jesus to do it. We pray these things in his name.